FM. Keith Murphy.
If you ain't first, you're last.
Andy Fales.
I pity the fool.
It's the Murph and Andy Show, powered by AD.
You can do it!
On 1460 KXNO, and now on 106.3 FM.
Welcome to the Murph and Andy Show here on a Tuesday. Good to have you with us today. I'm Keith Murphy, alongside Andy Fales in another studio, and in a third studio, Andrew Downs. Welcome to Tuesday. Before we go on to anything else, Andy, what big event is held tonight?
The big event held tonight. What big event is held tonight? Tonight is the preliminaries for the spelling bee.
I believe
the National Spelling Bee.
That's wrong.
Holds the it's play in tournament.
You get three choices. That's one. It's not the Spelling Bee.
It begins to ramp up toward the National Spelling Bee, which is of course coming up a little bit later on in the year.
Yeah, well, that you're safe saying it's coming up later in the year because it's what, January 5th or something. No, it's not the Spelling Bee. Do you want another guess?
No.
Andrew Downs, what big event takes place tonight?
I mean, I guess it'll be big if Iowa State knocks off Texas tonight. I wouldn't call it a big event, but it could be a big event if Iowa State gets an upset.
No. Is that the big event?
That would be big if Iowa State were to beat a really good Texas team. No, the Heisman Trophy ceremony is tonight. Who's thinking about this?
What?
Nobody around here.
Well, and there was a Heisman contender in this state, too. He finished sixth, Breece Hall. Yeah, the Heisman Trophy ceremony is tonight. Much of it virtually, but that is a surprise. That's one of those things that I had forgotten.
It would suck to be the first guy to win the Heisman on Zoom.
Yeah.
You know, though, does it really matter if it's virtual or not? We don't care. We're not invited to that ceremony. It's a downtown athletic club that we have no connection to. I mean, they may as well just hold it on Zoom.
I've been there. It's a nice club, but it's 55 minutes, and then the reveal is at like the 56th minute. And these days, with polling being what it is, you know who's going to win. I mean, there really hasn't been a Heisman Trophy ceremony in suspense for a couple decades, really. It you know, like Devontae Smith of Alabama is going to win the Heisman Trophy tonight.
What is the death of the Heisman Trophy? What's been the demise of the prestige of that award, or the interest in that award?
I think there's still quite a bit, but I think part of it is the polling, the straw polling that's done. The people kind of, they tell voters, they remind voters, you know, don't tell anybody who you're voting for. They do everything they can to create suspense.
Yeah, but I mean, and when O.J. Simpson won the Heisman Trophy, you knew he was going to win it.
Was it because we didn't see people
that's part of it. That there's no doubt.
We had only seen them in uniforms and highlights and that kind of stuff, and now we see them all the time, and they're all over social media. And
That's part of it. Part of it is the allure, the mystique of some of these players that you don't see very often. You would see them on TV occasionally playing games, but you'd see them in a tux and there was less to watch. There's just flat out less to watch. There was less to do on TV. So you're going to be watching TV anyway. You're going to be watching one of these channels, and if they put together this big national event, well, then people were going to watch it. And they were going to talk about it because they're watching TV that night, no matter what. They weren't, you know, spread out all over a million different mediums. They were going to be gathered in front of one of three channels. And they were going to be, you almost had them just by turning on the TV. You said you had a 1 in 3 chance they're going to be watching you. So give them something interesting, like the best college football player in the country, and they're going to be tuning into that. And then they watched that, and it was immediately a much bigger deal than it is now.
A big thing for me is it's just become a quarterback award, and I realize a quarterback's not going to win it tonight, so that flies in the face of my logic a little bit here. But you look back in the 90s and you had running backs, you had Charles Woodson winning. You never really knew which position it was going to go to. Defensive players had, you know, Ndamukong Suh had like a legitimate chance to win the Heisman. Since 2000, I think three running backs have won it, and one of those is Reggie Bush, which is, has been vacated. It's been all, I think, out of the last 20 Heismans, 17 of them have gone to quarterbacks, and it's basically just, all right, whichever quarterback's the best quarterback on one of the good teams wins this award.
It's a stat award.
It's not a college football award anymore.
I think you could make it even more narrow than that. I feel like since the running back stopped being the leading contenders, it's lost interest. I think there's some connection there. The running back was a guy that did it himself. He took the handoff, and then it was all him. Quarterback needs a receiver. Quarterback needs to kind of do a number of things. Receiver, got to have a quarterback. Other players need a whole lot more help than that, but the running back just took the ball, and then he was the star. In the NFL, the running backs were the star for the longest time. They were bigger stars than the quarterbacks.
They were, and you did have... There is an element to what AD is saying here, in that it's supposed to go to the nation's outstanding college football player, but it has become the guy with the best stats on one of the best teams. And to that point, Andy, Troy Davis, sophomore season, I mean, he goes well over 2,000 yards. He's on a team that barely passes the football. Everybody's stacking eight in the box. And Davis, if he's on a winning team, he runs away with it. Instead, it goes to Danny Werfel.
Yeah.
And Troy Davis finishes second, and he would be a finalist again the next year when he'd go back-to-back 2000. But the knock on him was he's not on a winning team.
The yards he piled up and the situations he was in.
If he's so valuable, why aren't they winning more? That kind of thing. Well, what else could that guy do? And then Ndamukong Suh, I voted for Ndamukong Suh, and it was one game probably swayed me too much, and I don't remember now which game it was, but I watched a game. And from his position, he was dominating the football game.
That was the game against Texas. Was that a Big 12 championship game when they had just not too long after they had joined?
Could be. Yeah. It reminded me of Bob Sanders against Penn State that time.
He was the best player on the field. He was so dominant that, and he was so in the zone in that game, he was going to be in on every single play, no matter what type of play it was.
He was like a man playing with boys out there, and I thought, that's the nation's best college football player, but a defensive guy can't win it. We're going to have a receiver win it tonight for the first time since Desmond Howard, who was probably more well-known for the returns than the catches. At least that was the highlight. The highlight is a return that then he does the Heisman Trophy pose. So, you have all that going on. The one thing tonight, I guess there could be a little bit of suspense, is another one of the finalists is an Alabama football player. And then a third guy is a running back from Alabama that's in the got to be in the top five in voting, even though only four are in the finalists. So you do have three Alabama football players splitting the vote in that geography. So maybe the predictions in Vegas are wrong, but I can't remember them ever being wrong about this.
No, they seem to have this down to a science.
AD, can you fact check that the Heisman Trophy ceremony is tonight? Now I'm getting insecure about it since no one seems to be aware that it's tonight.
ESPN.com has zero headlines on its main page about this.
It is tonight.
It is tonight. Okay, yeah. I mean, right there, I can feel myself breaking out in a little bit of a sweat thinking, we just spent, you know, 5 minutes, 7 minutes talking about the Heisman Trophy ceremony. Maybe it's not tonight, but it is tonight.
I guess, 6 o'clock tonight, 7 o'clock Eastern tonight on ESPN. And it's, I think part of this is weird because it's 2021. Jeez. You know, it's like, when do they, I think they normally give it out before the bowls, after championship games.
Yeah, on a Saturday.
Right. So on a Tuesday in January is a strange time.
And they usually have some big 30 for 30 right after the ceremony or a game. They do all that programming where one leads into another. But, yeah, this won't be highly watched tonight. Top of Mind is presented by BMW of Des Moines. Drake is 13-0. That's the best record in college basketball. 4-0 in the Valley, winning by an average of 24 points a game. 12 of the 13 wins have been by double digits. And according to some sports gamblers, apparently Drake has covered the spread in every game they've played this season, which is another stat that just shows how lightly regarded they were before the season started. But they won last night, I think 31 points.
Yeah, blew them out. And, you know, I think to myself, well, boy, there's got to be something. There's got to be some kind of catch. There's got to be something wrong. I'm just too accustomed to Drake having to just fight much harder for wins than they have this year. They seem to be coming too easy. But they're not. I mean, they're just playing good basketball together. And then you remember back to times when even the easy opponents really went down hard against the Bulldogs. So I don't know. I mean, again, I've said it over and over again. They're piling up wins right now. I just want them to get all they possibly can before they – I'm eventually going to fall back to earth a little bit. You know, I mean, they're in a Valley Conference. They're not playing in a high school league right now.
Right. They beat Southern Illinois last night, a team picked to finish above them in the preseason predictions.
And they got Loyola coming up, and Loyola, I think, is in second place in the Valley, and they're always one of the best teams in the conference. And maybe that's when they start coming back down. But, I mean, what are they, 4-0 right now in the Valley? And, I mean, they're just – clearly, Darren DeVries has figured something out with this group. He's got a group that he can coach, that seems to listen to him, mm-hmm. and they are not letting up at all. I mean, last night they blew Southern Illinois away. Last time they won a game, I think that's the biggest margin since I was in college, and I can't imagine what that game would have been like, because that was back when, again, I mean, Drake was struggling for wins, all of them.
Well, watching the game last night, and I've seen parts of Drake games, but I decided, like, last night what I wanted to do was really watch Drake play, because early on, anyone who saw them, you couldn't help but point out, well, look at, you know, they're playing McKendree. They're playing, yeah. Where did Hassel go to college?
St. Ambrose.
St. Ambrose. They're playing St. Ambrose. Yes.
They're playing teams that were totally overmatched.
Now, they did win at K-State by double mm-hmm. digits, and that was an eye-opener, and K-State went to Ames and beat the Cyclones at Hilton Coliseum, but they just keep winning. Then they got into the conference play and still just steamrolling competition, some of which is picked to finish above Drake. So last night, I gave the Bulldogs the old eye test. And I think they're really good. I mean, I don't think this is a product of the schedule. There's something with these guys, that intangible of a bunch of guys that somehow fit, kind of like the 2008 team did, where all the parts seem to come together in a way they work well together, and they play hard. I mean, they are hustling, diving for loose balls, mm-hmm. running up and down the court at full speed. The bench looks like it's having a ball. Clearly, Darren DeVries is the leader, and they respect him. But there's just some intangible watching them play. You're like, this is a team that I don't think is going to fade. I think they're for real in the context of the Missouri Valley, and we'll see if they can keep getting better. And they got a couple of guys that are like, stop what you're doing and watch the highlights. Like Tank Hemphill, he keeps making his way into the SportsCenter top 10. This guy's fun.
And these guys can stick around and keep playing next year, which is fantastic. And I think right now, Brian Harden is working on a way to get some fans into the Knapp Center.
So they had a few hundred last night.
Looking to add more fans.
More fans.
More fans than that, and he's going to kind of figure out how he's going to do that. He's going to be in the same situation as Jamie Pollard is. Mm-hmm. I mean, where do you start? Who do you offer tickets to first when you start to free things up a little bit? Do you give it to season ticket holders and longtime donors? Do you want to bring in some people that you know are going to make it more of a real atmosphere and give you some cheers? You want to bring in some students? I don't know what's going on with the J term right now at Drake. I don't even know that they're having one this year. But usually that's a killer. It's no wonder they're so accustomed to playing this month. This is usually how it is at the Knapp Center in January.
Yeah, for those of you who don't know, Drake usually doesn't have students on campus in January.
Don't have students on campus, and then first of all, they come back to campus late. They wouldn't even normally be back to campus at this point. And then they have a J term after that, where many of the students, if they're going to go do a semester abroad, this is when they do it. So they're just not as many people on campus, but this year doesn't really matter. Nobody's got anybody on campus, and Drake is playing great. They don't need him anyway. So you almost wonder if they want to mess with the chemistry a little too much, and I don't know, maybe they like the quiet. I don't know. The problem is you are jamming right now, and you want to build your fan base. You want to make your fans, first of all, you want to make the fans you got happy. Mm-hmm. You want them to be able to see some of this fantastic team, as everybody wants to see them right now. And then you want to be able to use this to your advantage to kind of grow your fan base.
And wear blue. Murph and Andy Show, 1460 KXNO, 106.3 FM. We'll talk to Michael Admire here, our good friend, in just a few minutes. He's the voice of the Drake Bulldogs men's basketball team. The Browns just made the playoffs. The Cleveland Browns. Our friend Chris Hassel did a really funny video on the Browns from the past, and a Browns fan from the future coming back to tell a Browns fan from the past how it's going to be. But they Browns make the playoffs first time 18 years, and now this week their head coach is positive for COVID-19. The Browns have had to shut down the team facility. There's three coaches and two players positive that we know of. So that is rough going into the Steelers game. Not sure how many guys they can get back by then, or if the NFL would consider moving that game.
I don't know. I don't know how they could. I don't know. I mean, they've been moving games around this season. I suppose they could. If there aren't going to be many fans there anyway, they'd be playing in Pennsylvania, where I don't think they've really had any fans. Steelers games.
I think that game might be the Sunday night game. You know, there's now a playoff game that goes into that Sunday night window. We were mistakenly thinking, oh, good, sound off goes back to 10:30 this week. But I don't think it does. I think that game's in the window.
Isn't everything movable this year?
It should be.
But yeah, that is season scheduled for 7:15 Sunday night.
Hate that, but yeah, I'm sure Steelers and Browns fans will enjoy it. The Eagles players, according to multiple reports, had to be held back from Doug Peterson after he pulled Jalen Hurts in that game where the Steelers had a chance to win, and put in the third string quarterback to make sure they didn't win, even though Peterson denies that. They wanted to hold on to that number six pick instead of dropping down to the number nine pick. So we have a quickie poll presented by WCI Pools and Spas. It is, which would you rather see your last place NFL or NBA team do? Play to win every game or tank to win the number one draft pick? And I think the distinction of this poll here, too, it changes the way people think. I think Eagles fans wanted to play to win that game and also see what Jalen Hurts would do at crunch time. I think they dropped down to number nine just to beat the Washington football team there in that spot. But I think Jets fans are still upset that they won a game that cost them Trevor Lawrence. So I think the difference in one and six probably factors into how you think on this.
There are probably a few factors. It depends on, you know, who you're playing and what that situation is, what the other fans are doing. But I don't know. I think I would rather that they tank and get a better pick. I mean, it doesn't mean anything. That win doesn't mean anything, really.
Not to the Eagles. No, they only can lose by winning, except pride. I mean, which is not unimportant.
But I mean, to fans, they're already checked out of this season and looking ahead at next year. And if you can make next year or the year after that a little bit better by getting a better pick, I feel like, you know, I feel like this is like resting players in a game that doesn't mean anything at the end of the season, before you have a bowl game or something. I mean, fans always understand that. They don't care. Aren't you tanking, basically? Didn't the Steelers basically tank that game against the Browns by not playing Ben Roethlisberger and a number of other players?
Seems like it.
I mean, that's tanking.
Yeah, I mean, the guys who play, I'm sure, give their best effort. But, yeah,
something different about being in the game and seeing your coach make that call. And, it, like, without consulting the players, make a move on the field.
In the fourth quarter, too.
Yeah, on the field, where it's just that obvious. I can and the players are all into the flow of the competitive spirit and everything. I can imagine that's different. But I don't know. I feel like to the fan base, they're already looking ahead.
Let's talk with Megan here on the Murph and Andy Show. Welcome, Megan.
Hi, guys. I was going to comment, we've been to a few Drake games already.
Good. Good. You're so, some of the lucky few hundred.
Yeah. Yeah, and the cheerleaders were there last night.
And they're looking to expand, apparently. So it could be even more people coming up. That's a good thing. You having a blast?
It's okay. Yeah, they do have that weird sound that the fake, you know, crowd noise that they make. So that's a little weird.
Does that sound like real crowd noise when you're in there, or does it sound like you're at the airport?
Kind of like at the airport. And they do it during, like, free throws and stuff. So I think it might be distracting. I don't know.
It's hard to get that right, isn't it? I mean, it's hard to make that real, especially if you're hearing a roar. I think it's worse, Megan, if you're in person than if you're watching TV, because you're there. You know there's a few hundred fans, and you're hearing this noise that sounds like a few thousand fans, and your senses just don't match.
Yeah, but the best part is they do have the cutouts of dogs in the dog pound.
Oh, good. I got to get my dog in there.
There's one cat in the corner, which is kind of hilarious.
That's good. Where's Griff? Is Griff out there? Griff 2?
His cutout is down on the floor.
But not that he's
next to, like, Paul.
But he's not actually there. Griff 2 is...
I haven't seen Griff.
Jeez, I miss Griff. And Griff 2.
You have Instagram?
Well, they live in
He's all over.
Instagram. I know, but I want to see him in person. Griff used to come by and visit. Okay, Michael Admeyer is going to join us here in just a moment. Andy, you have the keyword, or is that...
We have a 3 o'clock keyword. Not, okay. Not
let's
o'clock,
not jump the gun
we're
here.
One hour
we're,
away we're from a little, giving you a chance
little,
to win
a little late
bucks.
Yesterday, but we're not going to be early today.
But, okay? Listen, this is why I come to work, for these keywords. So I don't want to
miss
it.
Well, you can get a chance to win $1,000.
I know.
1 hour from right now. Stay tuned.
Jeez, yeah. Stay around for that. Michael Admeyer, voice of the Bulldogs, the 13-0 Bulldogs.
Let's cut right to it. Nobody does meat like Fairway. Nobody. And if you're somebody who wants to be a master, Fairway's hiring meat cutters. Quality pay, choice benefits, premium opportunities. There's more in store for you. Apply now at
wherever you get your podcast.
It's time for Murph and Andy's Play of the Day.
Keeps it for DJ. A 3 on the way is down. 14-9 Dogs. DJ Wilkins is on the board. And another turnover turning into points. Out wide to Trammell. A right wing 3 is down. A big shot by Trammell. It's 49-28.
On 1460 AM and 106.3 FM. This is KXNO.
That is voice of the Bulldogs, Michael Admeyer, who joins Andy in studio and me from a distance. Hello, Mr. Admeyer.
Hello over there, Keith.
And congratulations on being 13-0 as a broadcaster this season. How's that feel?
It feels great. I mean, all the work I put into the off season is really starting to pay off. And I just got to attribute it to all my teammates that have got me to this point.
Yeah, well, that's good, man. You're doing well. We did mention before, and we should, some exciting news for Drake basketball that came out today. That game with Loyola is being moved.
Yeah, the Sunday game is moved to 5:30. It's on ESPN2, so every week ESPN can kind of pick from all the mid-major schools that have that ESPN contract, and usually we're on ESPN Plus or ESPN3 last night or Sunday night. I guess we were on ESPNU, but they've moved us up to the Deuce. So I mean, that's more eyes, which is really cool. I mean, I know Iowa and Iowa State always used to being easily accessible, but for Drake, every opportunity we can be in front of the nation's eyes is big time for us.
Thank you for mentioning how easily accessible Iowa State is. Reminder, tonight's game only on the Longhorn Network.
Bad timing, my bad.
So what's this like, Michael? Is this sort of surreal, seeing this team this good?
I mean, it's just so interesting because you come into the season, 6 players leave, 5 new guys, and you're starting to hear about, this Shaquan Hemphill, but you can't see him because of COVID restrictions. You're starting to see or talk about this Darnell Brody, the big man transferring from Seton Hall, but you really can't see him. You've heard about the work that Roman Penn and DJ Wilkins have put in, but you really can't see it until the games get going. And, over the last month and a half, we've been able to be on the court. We've been able to play games, and you're starting to see what everybody has been talking about and all the work that these guys put in the offseason starting to kind of come to fruition, and it's pretty special. I mean, it's a group of guys that, they're an older group. Most of these guys are already 22. I think some of them are going on 23, maybe already 23 years old. So it's an old group, 10, 11 guys playing every night. So it's an selfless group as well. And, I mean, that's what makes it special is that it's just a group of really cool guys to be around. And even though that we have to keep our distance a little bit, it has been special and we're enjoying it.
So why are they winning?
I think it's that. I mean, it's a lot of depth. You have good guard play. You can score from many different levels. I mean, outscored every opponent, I believe, but one in the paint. Knocking down threes from outside, not taking a ton of threes, but you know, shooting around 50% from 3-point range, knocking down 53% of the shots from the field. You can throw up lobs to Tank and then knock down shots from outside with DJ and Roman and Jonah Jackson. And, you know, they've switched up their defense this year, playing full court. So they're pressuring every team the entire length of the court, whether it's offensively or defensively. And that's starting to wear teams down. And every game that we've seen, about that 10-minute mark of the second half, the opponents are getting worn down. And with these back-to-backs in Missouri Valley Conference play, not only do you have to deal with that for 40 minutes, you have to deal with that for 80 minutes. And anybody that watched the game last night, I mean, Southern Illinois was gassed by the 5-minute mark in the first half. And it was just, it was over from there. And this team is just imposing its will, and that's pretty special.
The back-to-backs are going to be interesting because... Yeah. Not only does it help if you have depth and great conditioning, which Drake clearly has, but at the end of this season, the teams that have played these back-to-backs might be more tournament-ready than teams that haven't because they're used to playing on back-to-back nights, which can be challenging when you haven't done that all season.
Well, and I think just in general, teams that are faced with additional adversity this year will be better poised for adversity down the road. And yeah, when you're playing back-to-back games, I mean, you're getting one team, the Indiana State series, Drake wins by 18 in Terre Haute. The next night they got to do it again in Indiana State. I mean, they were guarding our guards from like the minute they stepped across the timeline and were physical. So it was a completely different game. So yeah, teams that are able to adjust and be gritty, just like, you know, people in this pandemic era, are going to be the ones that are more successful.
There are also some really long layoffs, basically.
Yeah.
6 to 9 days, it looks like, in some of these cases. That's a lot of time not playing games.
Yeah, and I mean, last week it was huge for the Bulldogs because Roman Penn, Darnell Brody, Tramell Murphy all banged up, all missed time during the week with, you know, minor injuries, but still injuries that, you know, if you're playing Monday and a Wednesday, you may not, you know, be full go on that Wednesday game. So, yeah, it's been nice early on, but we'll see how it plays out as we go on, because you mentioned, yeah, there's, you know, you play that Wednesday game against your travel partner or Thursday game against your travel partner, and then you don't play again until the following weekend. So it is about balance and taking care of your body and staying locked in, because it is, you know, yes, 13-0 is great, but it's a long season. There's still a lot of basketball to be played.
13-0 gets attention. Dick Vitale has been paying quite a bit of attention to Drake. And I think we've kept it in proper perspective here. I mean, we've seen some of the schedule has been a typical Drake preseason schedule where there's a couple of more challenging games mixed in there. But all you can do is play the games in front of you, and there's the 10-point win at K-State. Then you get in the conference season, really starts to get attention because not just continuing to win, but winning by double digits, average of 24 points on the season. So now you go to ESPN2, you got Dick Vitale paying attention. So last night, I really watched with high interest because I wanted to watch intently and see what's this team got going for it. And it's surprising that they haven't played a season together before, because they look like they've been playing 25, 30 games together. It's high energy. They're in great shape. They're diving for loose balls. They're having a blast. There's just some intangible that winning teams have, kind of like we saw in the Cyclone football season. You could watch those guys and say, man, that team has something extra there. What do you attribute that to?
I would say two things right off the bat because, I mean, some of these guys have been playing for years together. Most of them, five players from Northwest Indiana.
Okay.
They played, you know, Little League ball growing up. They played through high school, AAU. Four of the players played together at Florida Southwestern at Fort Myers, Junior College in Fort Myers. The head coach at the time was Marty Richter, who is an assistant coach on the staff now. So a lot of these guys have played together and get each other. I mean, if you know anything about Gary, Indiana, the Northwest Indiana area, those are some tough dudes that come out of there.
With the exception of Michael Jackson.
With the exception of Michael Jackson. But, I mean, he had to be tough during his time growing up. But, no, I mean, yeah, it's a lot of tough dudes that come out of Northwest Indiana, aside from Michael Jackson, apparently. But, you throw me off here. Oh, and then the second thing with this is that with the pandemic, Coach DeVries comes in the season, and once you get the guys together, you want to play as much as you can because you don't know what type of stoppages there will be throughout the year. So I think, you know, when the team first got together in October, Coach like immediately jumped into playing 5-on-5. He knew he had some depth and knew that they could play some good 5-on-5 matchups and get running up and down. But he wanted to do that because he wasn't sure when they'd be shut down. So this team luckily has not gone through a major shutdown or a major scare. So, I mean, they've been playing 5-on-5 since October, which traditionally isn't something that you would do. I guess it was more even going into September, August, they were playing some 5-on-5. So, I mean, I think it's a couple of those things. They have been playing a lot together, more so than maybe some other people or other teams with this pandemic.
Our friend Michael Admire is with us here on the Murph and Andy Show, 1460 Kicks. I know we're talking about his 13-0 Drake Bulldogs. What is it like calling games for a 13-0 team with only a few hundred fans around?
It's fascinating. This weekend, I mean, we've called a couple games just off of a monitor when the team's on the road and all you're listening to is, you know, just piped in crowd music, and it's kind of disorienting. It's odd. So we'll take it when there are even, you know, a few fans in there clapping when there's a good play that happens. You don't take that.
Well,
for granted
you're in
anymore.
The arena at the Knapp Center
for the home games. Yeah, okay. Yeah.
So the Knapp Center is never. It's never going to be mistaken for Hilton Coliseum. Rarely, a few years, but
not yet. Yeah.
No, I mean, but
keep winning, and it might.
Yeah, but really, I mean, this team. There would be a lot of fans there right now, very excited about watching this team. Is that are the players used to that right now? Because I mean, nobody was used to playing and winning in front of no fans. Have they adapted to that odd feeling of doing really well at home with only a few hundred fans around?
Yeah, I mean, I guess of course everybody misses the fans, and you would love to have 7,000 people, you know. People hanging from the rafters, all that stuff, like the stories we've heard about during that 2008 stretch. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, it seems like these guys, again, they're just a resilient bunch. So it doesn't matter if there are just cardboard cutouts in the crowd or if there are, you know, 500 or maybe hopefully as we continue on, you know, up to 1,000 people in the stands.
Well, let's talk a little bit more about that. I was texting with Brian Harden earlier today, and he had suggested that he is looking for a way to add some more fans to the stands in the Knapp Center.
Yeah, I mean, that's the game plan as of now. Of course, with the COVID-19 pandemic, you don't know how things change throughout the week or even day to day. But, you know, back in, you go all the way back to March, Drake put together a COVID-19 response team and put it together with the university and athletics, and they've been working on so many different plans, so many different moving parts, but one of the plans was to find a way to get fans back into the Knapp Center. And they put together a plan, presented it to Polk County health officials, and this was about, you know, mid-November, and it was approved. There were some suggestions given back to us that we have since adjusted on, but they approved it back in November. Because of that spike around Thanksgiving and following Thanksgiving, as a university and an athletic department, we decided to step back. And with that time, we decided to step back and just allow friends and family. So it was about, you know, 100 people in the stands. We saw how that went. So then the next natural progression was to, you know, maybe let donors come in. Some staff members can come watch games. So we've kind of taken that next step. Well, now we're kind of in the position that all those have worked pretty smoothly. And so over the next few days, public tickets will be going on sale for the Sunday-Monday games against Loyola. And it's just the next step. It's the progression of kind of where we're at. It's still conservative compared to the original plan that went out back in November. But
you're talking about like 400 tickets more.
Got to be fluid.
Yeah, yeah, 100% got to be fluid. They're going to open up the north side. So right now the south side is open with seating pods, two to six in those seating pods, mask mandate, all that stuff. And they're going to now open that on the north side. So, you pretty much double kind of what we've been at right now, approximately. Kind of depends on, if a person purchases a pod of six, if they only have four tickets purchased in that area, there may be a few tickets floating out there. But, I mean, essentially, you're looking at 8 to 1,000 at best.
Andy, I want to make sure you understand. He's saying pod, not pod. Potted, like those potted plants.
No, yeah, ferns. Yes. Yeah, there's a pot. Yeah,
like which is what Stanford did.
Ferns per pot.
Yeah, Justin's in Des Moines. Michael Admire is with us here. Hi, Justin.
Hey, man. I just wanted to say I've been listening to all the games. I love you guys play by play. My dad went to Drake, so it's always been a special thing for us, Drake Bulldog basketball. We went down and saw Dr. Tom play in Corpus Christi when he started the rebuild that finished with the 2008 fantastic team. And I don't know, listening to you guys makes me think of good old Kotler and Pulliam doing those great games and them going to 18-1 and being ranked 14th. And, man, I want to see that again, baby. Vic Vitale gave us a boat, baby. So keep it up. I love it.
Thank you, Justin. Yeah. Appreciate that call.
Yeah, thanks, Justin.
Michael, I'm saying this with the due respect of what Liam Robbins has meant to Minnesota. Would Drake be better with him still here, or is what's being turned loose because they had to change the approach?
I mean, that's a great question. It's a tough hypothetical. I mean,
yeah,
you see it all the way through. It's like I can't help but think what this team could be with Liam Robbins, but
it'd be a different approach.
It'd be a totally different approach. I think they would not
be better than 13-0.
No, that's true. A good point.
And with Darren's philosophy, I mean, since day one he came in here, he wanted to eventually get to this run and gun where you're, defending the length of the court, and once off of a made basket or a steal, you're running and gunning. And I just don't know if that would be exactly what we'd see this year with Liam Robbins. He does fit into the Big Ten style of Minnesota, and I know all the guys are pumped for him. But
yeah, he's doing well.
Yeah.
So is Drake.
Yeah, it would be interesting. It would be a different team. It would be a different game. But I'm enjoying this style right now.
What is this? Our research, and gosh, we have researchers on the show, as you know.
Yeah, of course.
Are you sober this month?
I am. We just decided to do the dry January.
Why would you want to do that?
Well, this is a great question. It's because I can. Because I just want to try it out. I want to see what it's like.
Well, I can
because...
drill a hole through my head if I want.
It's 31 days, and I'm just interested.
It's one of the long months.
I know. I'm just interested to see like how I adjust, because I love a good bourbon. Calling back to back games.
You love all of that.
I love giving up bourbon. Next thing you're going to be giving up barbecue.
And for the most part, I have given up barbecue, I've tried out NA beers, and they're pretty good.
What has that new wife done to you?
She's lovely.
Oh my god,
it's all me, man. But no, the NA beers, kombucha. I mean, there's so many different things out there that you can try.
Kombucha,
yeah, a little kombucha. They're like 0.5%, but. I don't know. I'm trying it out. I just want to see what it's like.
Andy, you can see Admire. Are we sure this is him? Is this a voice actor?
Everything else about him is the same. I mean, his hair is still great. Eyes are still dreamy blue.
It's a new year.
I mean, it's whatever. To each his own.
No,
we want to do that to
yourself.
Well,
Andy may not kid. I know. I kid.
Your cocktails that you were making all through pandemic. amazing. I can't have one this month.
Well, I think it's cool you're doing this. Good for you.
I want to see
you have a problem
how I
or
react.
Something. Was there an incident?
No.
Andy has tested his. I remember when you did the fitness thing on television and what you're
drinking. Though.
Yeah, but what you were most proud of is just proving to yourself you could do it, testing your boundaries. Yeah. That's what Michael's doing.
That's it. It's just testing my boundaries, seeing how I adjust.
What you can withstand.
Yes, and that's like the
easiest
thing.
You can walk on hot coals.
Yes. Yeah.
Hey, and February 1st, I don't know what you have planned, but I'd like to be with you.
Well, yes. And the Super Bowl is in February, so it was
counting on the Chiefs being there.
Yeah. And we play every Sunday throughout the season.
Can't drink anyway.
So, I got to work. So, yeah. I'm kind of skirting the rules here a little bit.
I like it. Good for you. Well, Michael, we're so happy for you. You know how much we think of you. And we're happy for Drake. And it's just, you can feel, we're at the beginning,
yep.
But you can feel the energy around here lifting a little bit from what this team can do. And you know, you've been here long enough. Nobody dislikes Drake, but media fans don't pay as much attention when it's just coasting along, but you get going, mm-hmm. and everybody loves, especially in winter, a feel-good story, and a lot of people hop on. We saw it especially in 2008, and we're at the beginning stages of that now. You can feel it just starting to happen a little bit.
Yeah, I think these last two games really turned it on. For me, it was the Indiana State Series, just knowing this back-to-back and how tough it was going to be, and man, they were doing exactly what they've been doing for the non-conference schedule. So I appreciate you checking them out last night and watching a full game, because it makes
Man,
a difference.
Good.
It's the little things that they're doing right now that makes them very just enjoyable to watch.
I was impressed, and already was impressed with Darren DeVries' coaching, but he's got more talent there than I thought. This team is good, so it's going to be fun to watch. Michael, enjoy sobriety. And thanks
you know
for stopping by. Yeah,
how long it lasts.
Yeah, keep winning. We'll see a lot more of you, I'm sure. Thank you.
Appreciate it, guys.
We'll be back with Throwdowns on the Murph.
Parker.com.
It's time for Throwdowns. Powered by Heartland Tire and Auto Center.
All right, let's throw it down, Andy. The Cyclones had a great season, have most of their team returning. Should Cyclone fans expect another football season like this next year?
They should expect it to feel pretty close. I don't know that you can expect, first of all, it's so hard to predict what in the world next football season is going to look like, and so many teams are going to have all their players back. You can't go in expecting another Fiesta Bowl or something of the like, but you go in there expecting to be absolutely one of the top teams in the Big 12, maybe pick to win the Big 12 or compete for the Big 12 title. They were right there this season. They beat those other teams. And with all those players back, there's no reason why they shouldn't be right back to where they were this year.
Expect is the tricky word here, because I think it might be unfair to expect a New Year's Six bowl game and another regular season conference championship or finishing atop the standings. But, yeah, you should expect to contend for the championship and should expect to contend for another good bowl game and should expect to start the season in the top 15.
Murph, Urban Meyer has had a lot of success as a college head coach and has retired due to health issues more than once. Now he's rumored to be the next head coach of the Jaguars. If you were Urban Meyer, would you take an NFL job?
I'm assuming he has had a dream of coaching in the NFL, so I would say yes. I think that you don't have to deal with recruiting, which is a major headache, and you don't have to deal with schmoozing boosters, which a lot of these guys can't stand. I mean, that's one of the things I'm sure appeals to Matt Campbell staying at Iowa State, is he doesn't have to deal with boosters the way he would at, say, a Texas or Ohio State, place like that. They can kind of insulate him from that. So Urban Meyer clearly wants to coach again. He probably has a dream of an NFL job. He doesn't need the money. Won't matter if he's fired. So, yes, assuming this is something he's always wanted to do, I would take it.
Yeah, go with that. Assuming this is something that he wanted, dream of the NFL. I mean, the Jacksonville job, if you have the right mindset, that could be your dream job. I mean, you got the number one pick overall. They have a ton of cap room there, so they could add a whole bunch of players, and that's the lowest bar in the NFL, arguably. I mean, he can go in there and anything he gives them is great, and he's proven he is a great coach, so I would expect him to win.
Man, I take my money and my TV job and ride off into
the
sunset.
He just looks too young to be doing that every weekend.
But he's retired twice because of his health already.
Supposedly.
The poll is up on Twitter.
Yeah.
Looks awfully healthy.
Got ahead of the posse a couple of times. They'll pull us up on Twitter, at Murph underscore Andy.
And he's surprisingly good on television. I got to admit, that surprised me. All right, Trending Iowa coming up next.